message. I'll join you in the chorus. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that Jesus shed from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears. And that same blood dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It will never lose its power.
Okay, thank you, Ramona. Okay, at this time we're going to dismiss our kids to go to class with Ramona. She's got special things she teaches them, and if they miss out on this, they're missing out. Amen. I pray that the Lord will anoint Ramona to teach our children, and that he will anoint them to receive the Word of God, the shield of faith, the Word of God. If we can put that inside of them, we have such a step ahead. The devil is out to destroy our children in every area that he can, in social media, in music, and in things that the world says, oh, do this. It represents something that we want to be a part of. God wants you to be a part of his kingdom, and we want the kids to know that. They are holy and called to be his kingdom. I'm going to talk today about the blood of Jesus. I titled my message, Because of the Blood. But before I begin, I would like for you to just bow your heads with me and invite the Holy Spirit to continue and anoint the words that I speak, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here today. We give you free rein to speak to our hearts. Speak to me. Use me as a vessel. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, no matter where we are, the highest place, the most important person, you reach there. The lowest, those who have sinned and it seems they are unreachable, your blood reaches them. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Because of the blood. There's nothing, no greater message that I could bring to you that is greater than the blood. We must know what it means to be washed in the blood. There are many belief systems and many religions in the world that believe their good works will give them special favor with God. But God's word tells us that there is only one provision that gives us favor with God, and that is through Jesus' blood. Only through the blood of Jesus we are promised favor with God. It is an insult to God for humanity to assume that they can approach God without the covering of the blood of Jesus. It is as if we say, I'm good enough, I don't need anything else. I heard a man recently talk about, he was from Jewish background, and he said the teaching was, and I'm not trying to point at them, it's all over the world, but he said the teaching in our religion was, whatever you do, you stay away from Jesus is not the Messiah, but above all, do not accept the blood as an atoning sacrifice. And that is the teaching in religions, probably the only religion that, if you call it a religion, it's not a religion, but the only is Christianity. We say there is no hope without the blood of Jesus. We have no access to God without the blood of Jesus. God honors His Son, and only by the covering of His blood upon us can we receive acceptance into the presence of God. Through the blood of Jesus, we can gain access into the presence of God. We have access to His blessings. We've talked about it. Sometimes we think it's just to forgive us of our sins, but it's more than that. That blood has many blessings attached to it. We have power to defeat Satan. Satan cannot stand against the blood of Jesus. I can tell you, many times when my husband would go and pray for somebody who was oppressed or had a problem, a demonic oppression, the first thing the demons begin to say is, don't say the blood, don't call out the blood, because he cannot stand against the blood of Jesus. We have power. There is power in the blood. We can be free from curses because Jesus became a curse so that we would not be cursed. He was cursed when he hung on the cross. He took our curse. So the curses, some people say, well, there's a generational curse. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus can wipe that away. You don't have to live under any kind of curse. The blood of Jesus is available to you. We are redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus became a curse for us. Through the blood of Jesus, we can have abundant life. That means life that is above the norm. We have life that excels everything we can imagine. We can receive full redemption. Whenever you have redemption, you have no shame, you have no guilt. You are free from the condemnation. No matter what we've gone through, we can experience peace in the midst of the storms of life. When we come before God covered by the blood of Jesus, He does not see our unrighteousness. We all have gone astray. The Bible tells us we've each turned our own way and we've all sinned. But when we come before Him, God covers us, that blood of Jesus covers us, and we receive the righteousness of Jesus in place of our sins and our unrighteousness. He does not see our failures. They're covered. He doesn't remember them anymore. The blood of Jesus covers them. He only sees the precious blood of Jesus, which covers and removes all of our sin. In Titus, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6, we read there, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. There are many people who believe that the things they do to try to be especially good so that they can have favor with God. He said it's not according to our works, but by His mercy He saved us. Through how? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, at the cross, on the cross. Isaiah prophesied about the power of the cross. He prophesied about the power of Jesus' blood more than 600 years before Jesus was even born. He prophesied. And he said, In the 53rd chapter, verse 4, he said, when Jesus hung on the cross, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. We go through times where we grieve, we have a loss, where we have sorrows. But he says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. This is before he ever came. He prophesied that's what he would do because God had a plan and God fulfilled that plan through Jesus Christ. In the fifth verse of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he tells us that Jesus' blood paid the price for our healing. With his stripes we are healed. He said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He covered several things there. We can have peace. We can have healing. We can have forgiveness by the cross, the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. That's the reason that we periodically, at least once a month, we remember that. We receive communion because we remember that it is only through the blood of Jesus that we have forgiveness. It is only by his blood that we are accepted, that we can come before God. In 1 Peter, he said in the first chapter, verses 18 and 19, that we've been redeemed with the incorruptible blood of Jesus. You see, Jesus had never sinned. He's the only one who ever kept the law without failure. Sinlessly, he kept the law. Everybody else could not keep it. They failed and they sinned. If you've failed in one area of the law, the Bible says that you've failed in all of it. But Jesus did not fail. He was the one who came and fulfilled the law. He was wounded for our transgressions. But 1 Peter says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life. Do you know that without Jesus, life is empty? The empty way of life. And it's handed down to you from your teaching, your ancestors, from your teachers. They tell you that there is no hope. There is hope in Jesus. We have to receive that hope. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, that's how much he paid for us. He gave his son to redeem us. In Romans, the fifth chapter, he says in the ninth verse that we're justified and saved from God's wrath. You see, the wrath of God was poured out when Jesus hung on the cross. The wrath of God was poured out on him. Why was it that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, take this cup from me. If it be possible, take it from me. Because in that cup was the wrath of God. And he knew that he was going to take that wrath upon him for you. Not because he deserved it, but because he wanted you to be free from God's wrath. And so he said there, we're justified. He says, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Through Jesus, that's how we receive that smile and that kiss of God upon our lives. You may feel sometimes like you're forsaken and that nobody cares. I'm telling you that God cares very much. He may not speak to you like he does to somebody else. Maybe somebody else has a vision or they have special working and God speaks to them. And you say, why don't I have that? God spoke to you through his son. He gave his son. He died on the cross for you. How much more could he do? What more could he give? You know, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I reach my hand in his side, until I see the nail prints, until I touch them. And Jesus said, after he had allowed him to do that, he said, you have believed because you saw it and you touched and you felt. But he said, blessed are those, and what a greater gift you have if you believe, having never had that special encounter where you've seen and touched. We see it through the Word of God. It is alive. He speaks it to us. In Ephesians, Paul wrote there, he said, we are redeemed and our sins are totally forgiven. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It says not part of the sins. It doesn't say if you've not sinned in some areas, but it says completely. Every sin he forgives and he takes away. There are some sins, I understand, that there are consequences in this world that we have to pay. But God has forgiven us, and we will reign with him just as if we had never sinned. The word justified, it's just as if I had never sinned. Justified, never sinned. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 20, which it talks about a new covenant was established through Jesus' blood. That's what we remember today. When Jesus sat at that last meal, the Passover, and he told the disciples, I'm going to be crucified. He had told them, and told them over and over going up to that time. And he said, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. The new covenant. What is the new covenant? It's no longer the bloodshed of a lamb. Jesus was that Lamb of God. His blood was shed. That was the new covenant. And he said, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And that's what he has done for us. Aren't you glad we don't have to sacrifice a little lamb that our children have grown to love? No longer. But now Jesus has paid the penalty for that. In Revelation, the first chapter, it talks about when Satan was wrestling there. It talks about with the angels. It says, God says the revelator says he's made us kings and priests to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. You see, God has given you a position of kingship. When you receive Jesus, you are equal. I'm not saying that you become God, but he has made you his son. Jesus is the only begotten son of God, but we have been adopted into his kingdom. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter what political party. When you are redeemed and you're born of God, you become his son, and you're a brother to Jesus at that point. And so in Hebrews, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says through the blood of Jesus, our consciences are cleansed. There are some people that after they have been forgiven, they recall it all the time, and they come back to God over and over and say, God, I really am sorry for what I've done. I'm so sorry. But the Bible tells us, he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, he said, how much more could God cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You no longer have to be accused. The devil is the accuser, and we don't have to take those accusations. You don't have to feel like you're a nobody. God says he has made you kings and priests, and he loves you. And he says that he has cleansed you from the dead works, the things that were not profitable and that were destructive. He's washed them from your life. And then we remember when Jesus died on the cross, how that the veil of the temple was rent in two. The veil that separated people, they could not come anywhere close. You remember when they carried that ark of the covenant, when King David was having it transferred, and they had the ark of the covenant on the cart. Well, number one, it was not ever to be moved on a cart. God's ways are not man's ways. God told them explicitly how they were to handle that ark, because in that ark represented the presence and the holiness of God. Well, when the cart hit a bump and somebody, Uriah, thought that it was going to fall and it was going to be destroyed, and he probably innocently, but not going according to the word of God, he reached out and touched the ark, and he was killed like that. The presence of God was so holy, no man could come close. And when they put that Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies, and David went back and repented and moved it according to the instructions that God had given, and when they moved the Ark and they put it in that most holy place of the Holy of Holies, where the high priest only went once a year, and that without he had to cleanse his clothing. He had to separate himself from everything for, I think it was 7 days before he went in. If he had any sin in his life, how would you like to be a high priest to them? I don't think I'd want that position, because if there was any sin in his life, he was struck dead. He could not go into the presence of God. And he only went once a year. And that without, not without blood. He took in the blood to offer it before God and for the people and for himself. Well, when Jesus hung on the cross, and that veil there in the temple was when Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." He said, "The price has been paid. They now can come into the presence of God. I have made the way. My blood has been shed. It's finished." And that veil in the tip that separated people from that holy place, it wasn't ripped from the bottom up. It was ripped from the top down. It was torn and separated. God said, "Now they can come in, not because I'm good, not because you're good, but because we come in not presuming that we have any works of righteousness, not presuming that we're good enough, but understanding the blood of Jesus makes us righteous. It is only by his blood." And God said, "I have made a way that they can be reunited with me." He was separated, see, in the Garden of Eden. No longer could they come near to him. And so now he says, having boldness in Hebrews, he said, we can enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, not presuming on our, not relying on our works, but by the blood of Jesus. In Colossians, the first chapter, verse 20, talks about that Jesus gives us perfect peace through his blood. We can have peace. Do you know there's in the midst of storm, you know, whenever the disciples were in the ship and there was a storm raging, and they said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Jesus was there. He was sleeping. We can sleep through the storms. We're going through storms in our nation right now. And I trust that every one of you will vote according to the Word of God. Take your responsibility to vote. We want our nation to be God-centered. But when Jesus said that he has made peace through the blood of his cross, he gives us his peace. We can know that he is with us and we have his peace. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, when it tells us there when Satan was wrestling with the angels, and in Revelation, and John said that we have power to defeat Satan. How do we have power to come against Satan and defeat him? He said they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They had a peace and they could triumph. Your testimony is important as you go in the world. It's not necessarily what you say, but it's how you live. I'm not saying you never speak what you believe, but you for the right opportunity. But our testimony is important, and the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, is what makes us triumphant. There's only one who can connect us with God and satisfy the longing in our souls. The world is searching, and they're looking for satisfaction. We hear of people very often who have tried everything, and they finally say, "I'm just going to end my life. There is nothing that can satisfy. I can get no peace." The peace only comes through Jesus. And Jesus is the one, because he shed his blood. He paid the price on the cross so that we could be united with God. I think that many times we sell short the provisions and the power in the blood. We sing that song, there's power in the blood. There is power to overcome sin. There's power to be healed. There is power for us to be victorious. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Instead of turning to Jesus and trusting in his blood, many people turn to false philosophies and religions. They look for something to satisfy. And young people today, you may see them, they are searching and they're looking for something, and they try false religions sometimes. So, you know, they're hoping that this will lead them to truth and fill the empty place in their lives. And for a time, they may think they've found what they were looking for. But in the end, they're just as empty as they ever were, because only Jesus can satisfy the inner hunger. I have heard testimonies, and so have you, many times about people who have tried everything, and they've gone into foolish religions. There is no religion that holds Jesus in his right standing except Christianity. And that's not a religion. It is a way of life. It is being a follower of Jesus. But that we've heard of people who have ended their lives or have come to the point that they're going to take their lives, and God shows up and tells them, don't take your life. I am the answer. I'm telling you that his word tells us he is the answer. He is the one that we need. Nothing else can satisfy the inner hunger in our souls. Jesus Christ came into the world and shed his blood to bring us back to God. That was the purpose. He wants a relationship with us. And so that is why Jesus came. And if you today are watching this telecast and you have not given Jesus a place in your life, I invite you to experience the blood of Jesus flowing over your life, cleansing you and taking away the shame, your past, things that everybody, the Bible tells us, we've all gone astray. We've each turned our own way, but the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. No matter what it is, Jesus took it. And today, I invite you to make him the Lord of your life. If you're here in the congregation or if you're watching this telecast, make Jesus the Lord of your life. As we bow together and pray, I'm going to pray, and you just agree with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you by the blood of Jesus, the Jesus who has died on the cross for us, and we recognize that we are sinners without you. But when you come into our lives, that we are redeemed and we have all the blessings of your sons and daughters. And I pray, O Lord, those who do not know you, that you will come into their lives, help them receive you and make the decision to follow you. Your blood is precious. Nothing we can do can gain access to you. No works that we do, no money that we pay, nothing. Only the blood of Jesus. And we receive that blood now for forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you did not before, that now he is King of your life. Thank you for watching us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande. May you have a blessed week. Is there anyone here today that would like special prayer? Anyone? I know there are several that need. We prayed earlier, but there are some who are not here today. We need to remember those in prayer. When they're not here, we need to pray for them. I had a little bit of a struggle today because I've got somebody that takes all the attention away. I've forgotten. What did you name her? So what? N-A-L-A?
Yes.
Nala. Okay, Nala. Okay, and she's a precious little gift from God. And we thank God that she's healthy. We were praying for her for a little bit there. I think she had a little struggle, but she's good. And I thank God. We're so you'll have to look and not share anything that is, if you're sick, don't get around her, but anyway. And if you need prayer, now is the time. We want to pray with you.